Hello, everybody, and welcome to Voxel Viewpoints. It is March 11th, 2019, and we are definitely on our bullshit tonight. We've got an extensive episode full of fun and interesting games to talk about. Lee is going to talk about his experiences playing Devil May Cry 5. I'm going to touch upon Satisfactory, and Derek and Lee, you guys are going to dive deep into the soon-to-be classic Left Alive.
Square does it again.
Yep, they're back. Speaking of back on their bullshit, Square is firmly in that ballpark. But before we get into that, we'll have our normal preamble here. Derek, you went to an event where you played a game called Keyforge?
Yeah. We headed out to our local card shop called Cool Stuff. And I actually ran it. I had about six or seven of my friends out there teaching them how to play this game called Keyforge, which is from one of the creators of Magic the Gathering, Andrew Garfield. What kind of sets this apart from any other TCG is it's not a trading card game. You buy your deck for $10, and then that's it. They're not altered. Every single one is custom made. There's never going to be one that is the same. You'll never find the same exact combination of cards when looking through them. And I think they said there's 637,000 different deck combinations in the first set.
Whoa.
Which is pretty impressive because it's only 174 cards.
Wow. Okay, so what's the game if you're not trading them, or are you trading them?
No, you're not trading the cards. It's more of just like a competitive back and forth, more strategy based, because it's really about knowing how the different decks work, how yours works, what your combos are, because you're not trying to necessarily beat somebody by taking away a certain amount of life like we're used to and stuff like Pokemon and Magic the Gathering, where it's that 20 hit points that you're trying to get rid of somebody. Your goal is to forge three keys. And by doing that, you have cards and abilities that gain you what they call amber. Once you gain six amber at the start of your next turn, you can then forge one key. The first person to forge three keys wins.
Okay. Cool. So is it enjoyable? Do you recommend it?
I highly recommend it. It is highly enjoyable, and especially for somebody that's like looking for a nice budget game to play, to where you don't have to dump hundreds of thousands of dollars in the trying to find these cards, trying to find the best cards, because there is no best, there is no worst. It's purely skill based.
Okay, cool. And who did you say made it? What was the guy's name?
Andrew Garfield.
So Spider-Man?
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, okay. was he the one that helped Valve make their game too? Richard Garfield. Is that who you're talking about?
Maybe?
Andrew Garfield is Spider-Man. Or at
right,
least he so was Spider-Man.
Probably...
That's what came up when I'm like, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, he's the Facebook.
Yeah,
Richard
yeah,
Garfield.
Is...
Yes. I'm sorry, because I'm used to just seeing his last name, so anytime I use his first name,
right,
I completely mess it up.
No, that's fine. I completely...
Can we just put that out there, though? And then Andrew Garfield gets really confused in the EPKs for his movie, and people start talking about this card game.
Yo, you heard it here first. Tweet out to Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, the famed creator of Magic the Gathering, is also making Keyforge. He was the guy that helped out Valve make Artifact, which is not doing so great, so it's good to see that he's got something else out there that he's pushing at the moment.
It's doing pretty good. It only came out like a couple of months ago, and I think the end of this month a whole new set comes out, which is 204 more cards. So who knows what the possibilities will be with their algorithm for creating decks.
Yeah.
I would imagine would almost double the amount they have out now.
Mm-hmm. All right, Cool. Just to touch upon something we had mentioned at the end of our last podcast, we were all looking forward to The Sinking City coming out, and that unfortunately just received a delay. It was supposed to come out at the end of March, and is now scheduled to come out at the end of June of this year. So they put a video out that said that it's they say that it's because of their proximity to the release date of Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. They also said that it's going to give them some extra time to work on the game. So hopefully that delay is beneficial to the game, and they put out what they intend to. It was strange timing because I had just seen an IGN preview of it, so I figured it was on track. But maybe they received some feedback that said that, you know, there's a couple things that they could still work on. Hopefully it doesn't get buried by E3. That's the only thing that I'm not worried about. All right, so we'll just jump into... let's start off with Devil May Cry 5, because I think that's the most recent game. I guess not, but we'll get to that in a minute. But... yeah, Lee, why don't you tell us what's up with Dante and Nero and all of the shenanigans that they're getting into.
Right. Devil May Cry 5 is kind of walking back for layman, kind of, they'll dive into Devil May Cry. It's the fifth game in the main series, but there's six games. It's... a shift from the last one, because they did a reboot by Ninja Theory instead of being Japanese in-house, so it's kind of Ninja Theory did the last one.
Yeah, that one was just called DMC, right?
Yes, yeah. And kind of it was kind of rebooted and kind of a little bit more... whereas the previous ones are quite a lot more obviously Japanese Capcom-y, kind of classic, slightly cheesy. The last one was a little bit more kind of edgy, I guess. It's a bit kind of wake up, dickheads, it's time for DMC. So sort of saying double fingers in the air.
Yeah.
Like, bruh. But
it was a little more attitude.
It was a little bit more emo. Yeah, it was a little bit more attitude-y.
Yeah.
This has come in, and it's a mixture of both in a weird way, because there's still that sort of strange kind of edge that they brought in with DMC, but with the gameplay from the previous ones, which is very much like if you was to put a tournament fighter, like a Street Fighter, into a big kind of open but scrolling environment.
Okay.
So it's kind of, it's very combo-based and... kind of skill tree based, mixture between gun combat and sword combat, and you juggle between the two in kind
of like the gun are the guns mostly used to keep your combos going, or are they like real effective weapons at taking enemies out? Because that's what my experience spin is like. It's with Devil May Cry, like the guns are there, but it's more to like keep your flow going more than actually lay damage out on enemies.
Yeah. To change from one set of skill sets to the other.
Right.
The difference between this one is there's a lot more characters in this that do a lot more than they used to do.
Okay. So
usually the series are based around Dante, which is kind of sword-based combat with the guns. Then you have Nero, who has an arm that gives him a lot of different, like a detachable arm, that gives him a lot of different kind of abilities you can chain with that, which gives you like a scorpion type, like Mortal Kombat that tugs you into people, so that can open up different things.
Okay.
This one you have a third character, which is called V, which is kind of, he is the kind of the floppy fringe tattoos up the arms and long coat type effort going on.
Speaking
but
of
he's actually
emo.
Quite interesting. He he's kind of, you don't actually really fight with him. He casts out one of three beings, or like two or three. You can have three at some point, but like two or three beings at any one time, you get a kind of a bird type thing and a leopard type thing. And they do the fighting for you, because he can't really fight because he's wounded. He's got a stick. He But once you cast those,
he stabs people with his brooding stare.
He does. But he's still in the game when you go out and you set your creatures out. So you have to juggle fighting with your extra creatures, plus keeping him in the game and moving him around without actually really engaging in the combat. So you've got to work on two levels when you're using him. Okay. Kind of two different mindsets of, and he'll do stuff like read poetry.
Is that a
cast?
Of course, yeah.
Cast, yeah.
Is that a satisfying system? Did you enjoy that part of it?
I'm not sure whether it's satisfying to start off with, not as satisfying as the other stuff because it's so new to the system and it's such a different way of dealing with things. Because the whole thing it's like a platinum game almost, you know, the whole thing is the combat and keep the juggle going and keep the pyrotechnics going.
Stylish action.
Yeah. So being not a part of that is strange, but once you get into it, it's probably one of the more interesting new elements of the game.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah. It's very good. It's incredibly good. It's one of those games where you will hear, if you're not really au fait with them, if you kind of have a kind of surface knowledge of it, you hear it's this tough, hardcore, kind of real kind of move-based game.
Yeah.
But it's based almost like a Resident Evil, which has a score system, kind of, which is B to A or D to A, and then you get an S tier.
Yeah.
And this has the same thing, but it does it on a much shorter level, so it does it on a kind of level per level basis, as opposed to getting it at the end of the game.
Okay, yeah.
You can easily button mash and go through and top out at A's all the way through, but you're rewarded for your S ranks, and then you're rewarded for your double S ranks, then triple S ranks.
And what are you rewarded with?
It's accessible. Upgrade orbs, which then go into you because you can keep buying new moves, new weapons, upgradable weapons, new powers, new stats upgrades.
Okay.
You have a character in this called Nico. I don't know if you've seen in the footage. She runs around in a van.
In the Devil May Cry van.
Into the scene. Yeah. And it's like, hi guys. And it's like everybody else is collapsing around you, but she's fine in her van. You can dip into there every level and kind of, or between levels, which I'm not sure you could do before. Because I don't remember 4 very well, like 4 very much. But so you now have this ability to go and kind of tune yourself in between, beginning and the end of levels. So
tune yourself,
constantly
like
grinding for orbs. Sorry?
But you said tune yourself?
Yeah, tune yourself up, yeah. Just keep adding your new weapons and your new... Yeah, you get more than one bolt of alarm for Nero, for instance. So you can either use it as part of your gameplay or you can shoot it at them, but then it's a spendable weapon. So you can fire them out and blow people up with them or electrocute them, depending on what it is.
Okay.
So then it's another projectile thing, but it's definitely kind of accessible if you want to button mash through, but you're probably not going to get, because you're rewarded at the end for S's with new orbs, which is the currency.
Yep.
So you can burn through it if you want to, or you can, you could kind of really go for it and get into that technical thing where maybe you couldn't before, because some of it can be quite impenetrable because it's so many movesets.
So it's satisfying to play at the base level, but it has a, there's something there that can be mastered is kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's like kind of a more expansive Bayonetta, or what Platinum have been doing for a long time.
Okay.
Kind of, they have cribbed a lot probably from Devil May Cry with their kind of Bayonets and their Metal Gear Risings and...
Nier Automata was kind of like that, but even a... probably a more watered-down version of it even. So
it kind of played itself, didn't it? I think Nier.
Yeah,
you can configure it to play itself. Yeah. But otherwise, it had a lot of stuff, but the main part of the action was definitely kind of like the borderline stylish action hack and slash. Kind of deal. How's the story? Is it there, the story, or is it just bonkers?
It is, and it's very complex, and it's kind of very weaving back through the previous games. But it does give you a good old-fashioned kind of cinematic recap at the beginning of the game. It kind of, you can click on it. You don't have to sit through it if you already know. But it'll give you a recap of the whole thing, so the different kind of arcs of all the characters.
Okay. So and the stories, they are all the games connect? Or...
Yeah, apart from DMC. DMC right, doesn't connect. That's its own thing. Yeah, they all connect from... Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It looks nice. It looks very nice, like graphics wise, and all sorts of things popping off and particle effects and stuff like that. Does that hold up? Is it?
Yeah,
pretty it game.
Does. Are they using that new Capcom engine?
Is that
what
it is?
Which we've seen for which we've seen for Resident Evil, which is more. It's still quite more reality based, but this is obviously much more fantasy. It's set in London. Mm-hmm. Or a facsimile of London.
Yeah.
But there's much more strange crystalline things coming out of the floor and stuff like that. So you get a different sense of texture from it. It's interesting to see how something that works with realistic textures, mm-hmm. working with something that's really fantasy. I'd like to see what other new games they bring back that use it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the scalability of that engine. Like it can do the Resident Evil, which is... you know, kind of slower paced and stuff like that, and then it can be ratcheted up to like something completely different kind of game with Devil May Cry, with very fast, very kinetic, very third person action game versus a third person shooter kind of situation.
Well, methodical mod, as it were. Yeah, no, it does, and it keeps up with it quite well. It's not a base, but I've got an S. Mm-hmm. It chugs a little bit on the S, but if you have an X or a Pro, mm-hmm. it'll maintain that kind of fluid 60 thing that you want from a fast action game.
Yeah.
So it's quite a pliable little engine.
I haven't heard any issues on the PC either, so I'm sure that that's a good version of it as well.
But it's generally a very good game. It depends on how you kind of feel about it going in, because you're not much of a... I don't want to say you're not a fan, but it doesn't really kind of catch your eye, does it, Ryan? One of those things, it just doesn't kind of... So it's kind of... I think you have to kind of know what you... I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, I don't think.
No, so don't yeah, think it's... I've played, like... I played some of the previous Devil May Cries, and it's just not... Ooh. For me, personally, not my kind of thing.
No.
But... I did enjoy, I don't know which one I played. Maybe it was 3, maybe even been 1.
Ooh.
I never really got into Bayonet or anything like that. So it's just...
They were strange games, the earlier ones, because they were based more around the Resident Evil engine, so you had a beat-em-up context, but in a fixed perspective camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it definitely works
that's
better
right,
as a modern game than it does as a classic game.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, sounds like Capcom back on their bullshit, but they're good bullshit. Yeah, they've been kind of knocking it out of the park recently, and that's good to see. Maybe we were just talking about, touched upon Monster Hunter last time with God Eater. We talked about Resident Evil 2, which is another winner. Resident Evil 7 was a good winner. And now we've got Devil May Cry 5, so hopefully they continue down that road with Dragon's Dogma 2.
It's been rumored. They're bubbling. I know the director wants to do it.
Yeah, so I hope they revisit that game and they give it the treatment that they're giving these other franchises.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Be interesting to see what they come with next, because they've got kind of a lot of their classic franchises juggling in the air.
Yeah, I imagine we'll have to see Street Fighter 6 soon, and hopefully it fares better than at least the launch of Street Fighter 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Capcom.
Yes, good old Capcom. Or good new Capcom.
Can't wait for you to screw it up again. We'll do another Bayonet Commander.
Yeah. Well, at least they're doing better than Square Enix. Because if there was a reward to give out to the... Well, whatever. Left Alive is out on store shelves, and we've got hot off the presses, hot takes from Derek and Lee about this front mission slash Metal Gear slash... I don't know. What's going on? What's going on with this game? Because there's a lot of there's a lot out there, and I want to know what's true, what isn't.
What's not going on with it? The game itself.
But based on what I've heard, this should have been Left 4 Dead is already game name, but seems like that's what most of you guys are doing over there is spending your time dying.
As Lee said, it should be renamed to Left Alone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Good lord.
So what is this? What is the... I guess let's start with the pedigree and then get into why it's... Not only is it a bad game just on its face, but disappointing because of where it's coming from.
Pedigree. It's a series that started. It didn't make much of an appearance outside of Japan, to be honest with you. It's had a couple of iterations in America and then
this
the
is,
West.
This is Front
in
Mission. Europe.
Yeah, Front Mission. Yes, Front Mission. My apologies. Right. Front Mission. It's kind of, and it's predominantly a turn-based, kind of tile-based strategy type game.
Mm-hmm.
Until you got to the last one, which was 10 years ago, which was more of a third-person action game with your mechs. You occasionally get out and you will kind of have a third person kind of over the shoulder shooter type thing.
Okay.
And this is kind of the inverse of Front Mission Evolved, where you will predominantly on foot and then get in mechs off them sometimes, but it's a kind of a stealth based, very, very stealth based, not an action game. It's a very stealth based game.
Mm-hmm.
With occasional mech sections to make you not, I guess, get annoyed. And Derek, that's why you're next.
Yeah, you just die over and over. But like Lee said, it is highly a stealth game that doesn't do stealth good.
Yeah. So like, doesn't do the one thing that it's trying to do.
Do you know what it does? It pisses me off. I'm a belligerent man. Look, I'm moving in my chair for people that can't see me. I'm moving forward a bit. I'm a belligerent person, and I read all the 1 out of 10 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of...
Well, when you see a 1 out of 10 user review, it's like, come on.
Come on. I'm going to find a diamond in this rough.
Right.
I'm going to find a truffle in this shit.
Yeah.
And then you start and you kind of give it some goodwill. And it's like, this is a 6. This is totally a 6 out of 10. And then as you go on, it's a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's a 4. Like, and then you'll have a really fucking cheap death and it goes to a 2. Then it treats you a bit, so it goes back up again to a 3. And it just kind of wavers up and down this thing and you get more and more annoyed because it doesn't do anything well at all.
No. Well, like, chapter 1 was all right. And then you get to chapter 2 and it's just pure bullshit all the time.
Ooh. Yeah, it's terribly designed stealth system. But obviously, they're based upon learning pathing and stuff like that of enemies and things, which it doesn't do. They kind of wander wherever the hell they want.
And they're so clustered in some spots that you have to go through the spot. But then it's so clustered. But then the game learns from what you do, so if you fuck up in one part, it's then going to put a bubble there, and there's going to be more patrols where you got this guy running faster than you can run or dodge roll, just zooming back and forth waiting for you to come back that way.
You have kind of the touchstone they're giving it is kind of it's from the people that kind of had something to do with Metal Gear at some point.
Yeah,
it doesn't have any of that
specifically. The character designer. of Metal Gear, so that's why, that's where all the like box imagery comes from, and the like, I guess maybe the character designs, I don't know.
Some extent. But kind of, it doesn't have that thing where in a Metal Gear you have relative freedom within an area to kind of take your own path. It's not one path and that's it. This, it's like, if you don't take that one path, you're going to be dead. And take that one path, you're probably going to be dead anyway. Right. Because
there's really no path.
Shooting is a waste of time because that alerts everybody. Yeah. There's a melee system to take people out that is not a stealth kill. It is literally a massive stagger with a big pipe that means it doesn't matter where you are, you're probably going to knock in this guy into next week into the view of a mech that will then riddle your face.
So there's no silent takedowns?
45 seconds into a game. No, there is not, no.
In a stealth game, there's no silent takedowns.
I'm going to find out.
How do you have a stealth game? Takedown. How do you have a stealth? Well, that's supposed to be like, that's like rule number one. You sneak up behind somebody and you take them out silently in a stealth game. You don't need to unlock that ability.
Yeah. Like Lee said, you get a giant pipe and you just whack him. And then because of the physics of the game are so bad as well, like sometimes you whack him and he goes flying. Sometimes you'll get him down and you'll go to do the kill, because then once you knock him down, you then have to like stab him to kill him again. It doesn't always work when you press R2. And then sometimes when you go to do the stab motion, it moves the body forward, so then it's out in the view, and then you just get screwed over by that.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's not a dynamic thing either. It's always two hits and a stab. It's always two hits and a stab. So it's like, you could have put it, you bastard. You.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm angry now, and I've not played it in about a week.
I was playing it last night. And it sucks too, because like, I really want to know the story. I am somewhat interested in the characters and what happens and how all three of them are supposed to intermingle, but trying YouTube, to play it to get that, yeah, that's what it's going to be. The YouTube. Story so far.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's
pretty much.
It's another. It's nothing works. The worst thing, I think, because you try not to get into skirmish because the game fucks you over badly. But when you do get into skirmish and it do stuff like cover shooting, it falls apart. It absolutely falls apart. It doesn't aim. The reticle doesn't work properly when you do so.
Nope. Yeah. Shot them in the back of the head and they turn around and look at you like, "What'd you just do to me?"
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, let's have some tea, let's talk about this, and then we'll finish.
And then I'll shoot you in the face. Derek, you streamed it for a little while last Tuesday, and I caught a little bit where you kept respawning next to Wanzer, I don't know how to pronounce it, that you needed to get into, which is one of the mechs. And you kept getting sniped from like across the map because it like spawned you in within line of sight of a sniper from across the map. So
like, and this is a story part of the mission too. So this is like
you have to do it, right? Yeah,
because you got to go hop up into this thing and then you spend the next 5-10 minutes just blowing shit up. But as soon as I failed it the first time, I was trying to run back and just boom, headshot, boom, headshot.
Yeah,
but I can't headshot somebody.
No, of course not.
For people that don't play these games, don't watch the podcast, you know that Derek is generally an easygoing chap, especially when he's doing his kind of his streams. Mm-hmm. And it was funny watching him do that straight face that he does, but his face getting redder and redder and redder as we're all laughing at him and typing that we're laughing at him. And he was getting so fucking angry because it was such a pointless death. There were such multiple.
It was like, I think I actually stopped and just put my hand on my head for a second.
Yeah.
And was like, all right, guys, one more time.
It's so much bullshit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Like, I was trying to record the footage that you guys are going to be seeing behind this or eventually watching somewhere.
Yeah, if you're watching it on YouTube, there'll be plenty of examples of Derek dying.
40 minutes of me dying trying to get some good footage for you guys. Like, I was about to go back and redo the first mission because I knew what the hell was going on there.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that would be massively misrepresentative of the game if you did that, to be fair.
I know.
It's best to just show you kind of what it's like just going in entry level.
Yeah, sounds
struggle's
like,
real. Oh.
Sounds like you got
an
accurate depiction. Yeah, and I was
I'm
like,
dying to hear the story.
I was actually excited for this game because the gameplay that came out up prior to launch, you know, looked a lot like Metal Gear Solid, and you know, there was a time when you know, Metal Gear Solid clones were coming out, but that time has passed, and you don't see many games in that style anymore. And by all accounts, you know, what I was seeing was kind of in that wheelhouse, you know, stealth action, sneaking around and taking guys out stealthy, and you know, some action moments where it needed to get exciting, and of course, you know, futuristic robots and taking place in a you know, semi-realistically political landscape. You know, the bullshit that Metal Gear does, and then just to see it come out and be this giant pile is kind of disappointing.
I'm dying to know what the story is behind this game. I'm not sure we'll ever find out.
No, I don't know.
Find out what happened. Some things happened. I think that's the worst thing about it, because there's lots of talented people working on this.
Yeah.
Some things happened.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've got no idea.
I guess this is the story of Square Enix at large. Some things happened. You know,
I'm starting to think what's happening is they're not interested in anything apart from Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts.
Right, I was just going to say, hot off the heels of Kingdom Hearts 3, they released this steaming pile, this dumpster fire, which was, of course, Kingdom Hearts 3 was right off the heels of The Quiet Man, which was another, you know, classic Square Enix joint. In the running...
Yeah,
in the running for certainly the worst game ever made. Like, straight up worst game ever made. And it sounds like this one is, you know, giving it a run for its money.
Yeah.
Well, that was funny. This is just disappointing. That's the thing.
Because even Just Cause 4 didn't even start out that well. It had a bunch of issues.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Just Cause
4. I haven't gone back to check it out yet. I was kind of waiting till we get some of the DLC and where it's had a hefty amount of patches. Because
yeah, they just put it out on Game Pass, so you know it must have sold really well.
Yeah. If you look at the stuff that they've been doing that's not Final Fantasy or kind of their RPG stuff, it's just getting lower and lower interest, it seems, from their ends. They basically gave away Hitman, didn't they?
Yeah,
we're done with Hitman. You just take that back. I feel like Shadow of the Tomb... Well, any of the Tomb Raiders, they just kind of...
Oh, that's right, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. They fucking buried that, too. They took Crystal Dynamics off of it and gave it to Eidos... Was it Montreal?
Yeah.
And, you can totally tell that game did not receive the treatment that certainly Rise of the Tomb Raider did, because that was a fantastic game. And Shadow was just it just paled in comparison right off the bat.
They had to put Dynamics back on again at the 11th hour.
Oh, they did.
Dynamics actually worked on it eventually. Yeah, they had to finish it for them because it was in a bit of a mess, apparently. But yeah, they came in and actually did quite a bit of work on it to kind of fix it in the last kind of last leg.
Yeah, it just, you can tell that tonally and like everything about it is just not as refined and polished as Rise was. Just in simple things like transitions between gameplay to cutscene. And you know, it's what you call polish, right? It's what when we talk about polish, it's what you refer to when it's like transitioning from cutscene to cinematic is something that you have to know how to do. It can't just be this hard cut that is disrupting. It needs to be a natural flow into from one to the other, and that was just completely missing from, you know, the first just the first few hours of that game that I played. And like the first village you go to didn't feel like it was a living place. It was very It's very staged. It wasn't as lively or real feeling as the few villages that you see in Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yeah, it was very disappointing because I really liked the Rise of the Tomb Raider quite a bit. I was hoping the follow-up was going to be, you know, at least just as good, if not, you know, moving it forward the way Rise did, and it wasn't at all.
Yeah,
so that's Square Enix, like we said, back on our bullshit.
Yeah. A game that kind of not even ran out of time. I don't think they ever had enough time to start with. Yeah. I think that's the takeaway I can get from it. It was fucked from the start, probably. Insufficient funds. It just feels like it's massively underfunded.
The thing is like this game was announced quite a while ago. It's been in development for like 3 or 4 years, at least. And it's so strange that it would come out and be so feeling so unfinished, because it seems like, you know, it's been worked on at least in some capacity for quite some time.
I'm surprised it came out in the West, to be honest with you, because there's lots of things that indicate that a localization was not high on their agenda. Like the matching of mouths to dialogue, English dialogue and stuff like that. It all feels a little bit kind of, we'll take a chance on it, but not monetarily.
How does it play on PlayStation 4?
Fucking shit.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm playing it on a Pro. It doesn't play much better. I've tried both the options because it's got a 4K option, and then it's got like
a performance stable option.
It's a 1080p option, basically.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice any difference at all.
Cool.
Yeah. Steady 20 frames per second, probably.
Yep. Staggery, jumpy.
Yeah, I guess the PC version is quite the mess as well. It's currently got, I don't know what it's got right now, but last time I looked, it was like a 10% on Steam, like 10% positive rating.
Yeah, some modder had to fix it so it was playable. The last I read about the PC version. Like, they're getting like 10 frames a second on the 2080.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's improved at all.
Another kind of afterthought. Seems like the PC port.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe next time. I don't know. what is Square Enix's next release? Do they have anything on the horizon?
Kingdom Hearts 3.9.
Right, yeah. Get double helix, right?
Double vertical, horizontal.
Yeah, double. Kingdom Hearts 3.9 double Deluxe. Down.
Yeah.
KFC double down.
I think it's actually going to be DLC for that, because they said they weren't going to, and then something surfaced where they were in talks of actually putting out DLC for the Kingdom Hearts series.
Which, from what I can understand, it should have been in the game.
Because
it was a bit truncated. Oh, Square.
Yeah, Square. Square's so square right now. Such a square.
Square's the new 2000s Capcom. There you go, look at that.
Yeah, they've traded places. Although, was Square ever really at the top? I guess they were doing all right for a little while.
Yeah. Oy, oy.
Yeah. All right, well, that's Left Alive. Probably not going to have a redemption story on this one, I doubt. We hope so, but probably not. So let's get into what I spent way more of my weekend playing than I thought I was going to. The Satisfactory Alpha Weekend, which is an indie game that's going to be coming into early access on the Epic Games Store next week, the 19th of March. And this is a first-person factory-building simulator, I guess is the best way to describe it. It's kind of hard to describe because it doesn't have a lot of comparisons. It's kind of a genre that's spurred out of city management games like SimCity and City Skylines, as well as crafting games like Minecraft, and kind of combine those together. But the focus is just on resource gathering and resource manufacturing, basically. So you're thrown into this finite. It's a pretty big world, but it does have a limitation. It's not like Minecraft where it will go on for unlimited amount of time. If you just walk into the horizon, you're kind of like on this isolated island, but it's very big. And on that island, you have resource nodes. You have there's iron and copper and limestone, you know, the things you'd find in like typical crafting games. And your goal is to mine all of them and get them back to a central hub in order to start manufacturing more complex items. So like you'll take iron and you'll smelt it into ingots, and then you can use those ingots to make steel plates. You can use that to make steel rods. And then you can take the steel rods, turn them into screws, combine those with the steel plates, and get reinforced steel plates. And when you first start out, you're kind of doing all of this manually. You're picking up all of these materials and you're crafting them into different things manually, but you're slowly inching forward in order to build the buildings that you need to automate the process. And that's the overall goal, is to make all of these parts in massive quantities automatically. So you build mining things to take up the raw materials, send them on a conveyor belt to your smelter. The smelter smelts them and then puts them on another conveyor belt into the machine that creates the steel plates, so on and so forth. And it's all from, typically these games are from like a top-down isometric perspective, like a RTS game or something like that. But this one's first person. So there's like an element of being like right there in the middle of your factory, seeing all these things go by on conveyor belts. And there's also a lot of exploration, because you're exploring this small open world area, and there are some dangers. There's like some animals that'll attack you, and like they'll be guarding some of the resource nodes. But you can also find like caves and stuff, and find more valuable resources down there, and little things, secret things that you'll pick up that you don't quite know what they're for until you start researching certain things. And it's like a pretty satisfying combination of all of this kind of stuff. So you have your like micromanagement game where you're building your factory and trying to get, you know, you can split conveyor belts, so you can send ingots to two different types of processing centers, but then you're not performing optimally on any one because the supply of ingots isn't quite enough. So then you have to be like, well, what do I do? Do I, focus just on this right now? Do I focus just on this? Or do I look for a new source of material and go through the process of creating an entire new conveyor system to push all of the stuff back to your base? So there's that element of it, and then there's the exploration, which is pretty exciting. I don't know how much there's going to be to explore out there, but I was still coming across new things as I was poking around and traversing, and eventually you'll get vehicles, which will make that part of it a little bit more accessible, so you're not just running around everywhere. And yeah, it was just it I had been following it for a little while, and I got an access key for this alpha weekend. And so I was just going to be like, oh, cool, I'll check this out. It's probably just going to be like a quick demo of what the system's in the game. But it ended up being like a huge chunk of the game. Like, as you're going along, you're achieving these milestones, which essentially is producing enough materials to feed into your home base, which launches a rocket up to like this space corporation that needs all of these materials, and then they're unlocking access to new buildings and equipment for you. So that's kind of the flow of the game, where you're slowly unlocking different tiers of buildings so you can manufacture things faster and generate more power and things like that. And yeah, there's like a good chunk of content in the alpha, and then it, like, you could see what they had planned moving forward. And they're like, this isn't in the alpha, but you can see that there's like 5 more tiers of upgrades or something like that. It's just like, it was a good way to show you like, hey, there's definitely going to be a lot more going on here than even this kind of robust system that we already have in the game. There was some performance things. It ran pretty well most of the time, but you could tell it was loading things in when you were exploring the open world. Like, the frame rate would stutter. But nothing too surprising from something that's technically an alpha version of a game. And there's some annoying things around. Because you're in this first-person perspective, you can't get a real good overview of what your system looks like, of what your factory looks like. And sometimes placing buildings can be a little difficult to make sure you're lining everything up and maximizing space and stuff like that. There were a few times where I'd place a conveyor belt, and then it would build like around me, and I'd get stuck in it. So there was that was kind of annoying, but they had a kill yourself button basically that so they took that into account basically and said respawn at your base, you hit that button, and then all you got to do is go do like a corpse run to pick up any materials you had, but it gets you out of the trouble quickly. There's some things around there that I don't know if that's just going to be part of the game, something you got to deal with, some things like that. Yeah, I don't really see any way of them working around it because of the perspective they're using. But
would it not be easy to add like an aerial snap? Is it just not that sort of too dense for that?
I don't know. It could be not what they're going for. Like, I think they're deliberately going for like a first person kind of thing, and deliberately not going for the over the head view of these games the way that they typically are. So I don't know if maybe they'll eventually add something like that in. But right now it seems like it's very focused on the first person. There was like a moment where I was kind of like looking over the edge of my floating island just to see like, can I see anything down there? Is it like water? What's going on? And then I fell, actually. I got too close and I fell, and there was like a little ledge coming out below me. I landed on it and I was like, oh shit. What am I going to do now? Because where I fell from was like, 100 feet in the air. So what I ended up doing was exploring this huge cave. There's hazards, like some poison plants and stuff that, will hurt you, but you find like fruits and nuts and stuff that you can eat to, bring your health back. So if you get through it quick, you can just heal back up. And, eventually I found this like rare resource that I hadn't found before down underneath what ended up being like directly underneath my base. Like, it's got a pretty good compass. It doesn't have a map, but it has a compass, and it has like markers where things are. So if you walk in that direction, you'll eventually get to where you're going. And when I lined myself up, it was like the base was like right above me and a little bit to the north or whatever. So I was like, okay, I get this really rare resource down here. Eventually, I'm going to need to figure out some way to get it up to the surface. And, like, knew that that was going to be some big project I was going to have to undertake later on. Like, I wasn't ready now because I just didn't have the tools to do it. But, like, I knew that you can put, like, a beacon down to mark an area so you can get back to it real quick if you need to. So I beaconed it and was like, okay, maybe in, like, you know, 5 days, eventually I'll come back here and figure out how to get this resource out of here, and I'll have the tools I need to do it. It's cool like that, because I like these types of games. I kind of, it's either love or hate, right? Because if they don't show me, if they don't give me goals, then I have a hard time spending too much time in them, because eventually I just get bored with the systems and stuff like that. But the game keeps giving you these milestones to shoot for, these things to unlock, which actually have a real impact on the way the game plays. Like, they increase your production quite a bit. They allow you to produce more things more efficiently and stuff like that. So that seems to be pretty well done. Ooh. And just having the extra level of exploration is pretty cool too. Not knowing exactly what's out there and taking the time to like really get to know your environment. The alpha only had one area that you could go in. It was like this kind of like tropical grass setting, kind of looked like Avatar, with like big crazy rock formations in the distance and stuff like that. But there was like 5 other environments that weren't in the alpha, but I don't know if they're going to be in on day one, but there's going to be different environments that you can go to. And I don't know if, like, you know, maybe the starting one is easy, and then the more you progress, the harder the environments are or something like that. I'm not totally sure, but even just having, you know, like a different setting could be a big deal for longevity. Anybody got any questions for me about it?
I think when you were playing, you said you had run into some, like, type of animals that were out there. Does it give you a way to, like, deal with them?
Yeah, so you start the game with, like, an electric taser in your inventory, and that was pretty much my only weapon throughout the game. And the enemies that... so you'll find animals that are docile. There was these little rabbit-looking lizard things that were running around, and then there were these bigger, kind of, almost like, I guess you could call them, like, dinosaur kind of things on 4 legs, kind of lumbering around. They were all, they weren't enemies. They were pretty docile, but there were these kind of, like, boar animals that had, like, armor on them that would charge you when you got close to them. So you'd have to use the electric zapper to zap them. And I took a couple of hits. But you'd then also get a piece of their armor that you'd be able to take back and research. And that, I didn't get enough in the alpha to fully research it, but it was going to lead down the road of, like, giving me armor so I could take more damage on my suit and stuff like that. So there was that, and that was just one example. I don't know if they're going to add more enemies in the game to allow you to go down more branching paths and stuff like that. I'm not 100% sure, but that was the extent of the combat. It wasn't too crazy. And the creatures were the ones that were attacking you were specifically focused around resource points. So you weren't like just finding them out in the middle of nowhere. They were around resource points. So it made some sense as to why you'd have to deal with them. You weren't just finding them randomly and having to deal, because they would chase you for a very long time. I found out at the beginning. In fact, right when I started, one killed me, like the same one killed me like 3 times in a row, because I was trying to figure out the, because they run fast, right? They like keep running around in a circle around you, and you gotta time your electric zap right to hit them. And then when you do hit them, it knocks them back and knocks them out of that move, so you can keep going up and spamming the button. But that first hit is sometimes kind of hard to get in. So this thing killed me like 3 times right at the beginning, and I thought I was going to be like, well, this is just stupid. But eventually I realized that, you know, they're not everywhere, and once you kill them, they're gone. They don't come back, and then you've got access to that resource.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that if you're into, like, micromanagement sim games, it seems to be in that wheelhouse, definitely. The closest game that I found that is actually like this is a game called Factorio, which is has been in early access on Steam since, like, 2012. And consistently updated, but just has not come out of early access. And this is like a top-down isometric game where you're placing things like you would in like an RTS, a real-time strategy game. But it's the same basic idea where you have these resource nodes, you build a mining machine on top of it, then the miner machine puts the raw resource on a conveyor belt. The conveyor belt brings it to a processing building that refines it, and then you take that refined resource and turn it into something else and keep going down that road. So this is the closest facsimile I can find to exactly what this game is. But it does touch upon things that have been in other, like, base management games like SimCity, and Dwarf Fortress is something that comes up pretty frequently. And there's one out there recently called RimWorld that is in the same ballpark, but they're more about managing people, managing citizens, like their happiness and supply and stuff like that. And there's none of that in this. This is just making resources and sending them off to some benevolent space corporation to give you access to fancy equipment.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be
anything you'd like to see added into it? From what you've played? Like, wishlist stuff?
I'd like them to work a little bit on the UI a little bit, and inventory management, because it is a little cumbersome, like moving items between your inventory and like a box or a crate or a resource location can be a little. It's not as intuitive as other games, so like you actually have to click and drag them over into your inventory, and you have to put them into your inventory first before you can like split them into different amounts. So like sometimes you only need like 5 steel sheets, but you in order to get those 5 steel sheets into your inventory, you have to bring the entire stack of 100 steel sheets in the in your supply or whatever, which means you're then cluttering up your own personal inventory with stuff you're not going to really need, and then you have to go back and put the remainder back in to the storage so then you can go and have enough inventory slots to do what you actually need to do. I'd like that to be improved upon a little bit. And also equipping your weapon. So, like, when you go into your inventory, you have two slots. You have a hand slot, whatever you're holding in your hand, and then you have, like, a suit slot, which I didn't unlock any suit upgrades, so I don't actually know what's going to go in the suit slot. But the hand slot can have multiple things. Like, you can, that's where you need to put your healing items in order to eat them, in order to heal up. But then you need to go back into your inventory and drag over your taser in order to tase things, in order to use it as a weapon. There's no quick way to switch between those. There's no quick bar. Like, you can't put them on hot bars. Hit, like, no, hit two and, you know, it brings up your taser. Hit three and it brings up your health items. Those are used for construction thing. So, like, you'll hit three and it'll bring up your conveyor belt build, your ability to build conveyor belts. Because, you know, that's the focus of it. It's not really the combat, but it makes combat a little bit difficult when you're, like, out in the middle of doing a fight and you need to heal, but you also need to quickly attack. It becomes kind of cumbersome.
When it's that tied to your progression, obviously your resource progression, you don't want something like that. Even if that is not the point of the game, you don't want that slowing it down.
Yeah, it just made it kind of cumbersome to deal with that when the few times you need to deal with it. So I would like to see that kind of looked at, and maybe just a quick key that cycles through all the things that you could have in your hand would be a big improvement, because then you're at least not going in your inventory, which takes up your whole screen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like I'm really digging it, and I'm definitely probably gonna grab it when it comes into early access. That's gonna be an Epic Game Store exclusive. So it's not coming to Steam or anything like that. No controller support. It's all mouse and keyboard. And I don't know if they're planning on controller support. I imagine they probably are, because they'll probably bring it to consoles at some point. That's usually the way that these kinds of things go. I don't really see any reason why, as long as they improve the inventory system, I don't see any reason why it couldn't be mapped to a controller. And that would honestly be my preferred way to play it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like $30 in early access, which is, in my opinion, a pretty good price for, even if you're just getting what's in the alpha, I think that's a pretty good price. But knowing that there's even more that they're going to have in the early access version makes it definitely a steal if you're looking to get into a game like this.
Is there a guesstimate for that early access? Or
March 19th.
I'm not sure. March 19th. Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So right around the corner.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So that's my bullshit.
Sounds like you have fun bullshit though, so that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll swap you for left or right.
Yeah, the only person that didn't have fun bullshit this time around was Derek.
Yeah.
But I think we're all about to get onto some fun bullshit, hopefully, with The Division 2 landing this week. Derek and I are going to have... Yeah.
In 3 hours, 3 minutes, and 8 seconds.
He's got the countdown. Bullshit. Yeah. So...
Wait, what?
Derek and I will...
It was Friday it was coming out.
If you have the Gold or Ultimate Editions... there's 3-day early access, which starts tonight at midnight.
Oh, fuck that. I'll see you Friday.
Yeah. That's what I was going to do until I was like, this is an online game, and it's probably going to be DLC and stuff. I might as well just get the digital version.
Yeah.
And I might as well buy the version that gets me 3 days early access while I'm at it, and the season pass.
Yep.
So... I got that too, so I'll be on that as well a little bit early. I think Well, I know, Derek, you're going to be on tomorrow night streaming some of it.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out a bit tonight just to get into it and then pick up from there for the stream.
Yeah, and as long as I download all 90 gigabytes of the game by the time you go live, I'll try to hop on too and join you.
Sounds good.
And is there anything else that we're hotly anticipating other than The Division?
I still just got Fate next week.
Yeah, when does Fate come out? When does Fate Extel? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the 19th.
Oh, okay. I think that's the same day as Sekiro, isn't it?
No, Sekiro's 22nd.
Oh, right. Okay. Is it?
What's Fate? Sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, can you go into that a little bit?
So Fate Extella, it's just kind of like a beat 'em up game. You play as the characters that you would know from, because it's based off an anime. So you play as these characters, which are basically legendary heroes that you'd read about in like stories. Like, they have their version of King Arthur. They have just different characters like that they use. And this one, you just take command. Like, you play a player who commands this person. But it's just, you just go in and it's just like an over the, like a behind view. It's just like a beat 'em up game. Kind of like Dynasty Warriors and stuff like that. You've got like missions and objectives. Most of them are like time-based. But it's like, hop here, stop these guys. Hop here, stop these guys. Come back, stop them. And it's kind of like fun little mindless game.
Okay. All right. Man, it's got anime in it, so. Yeah. That means it's out of my wheelhouse. yeah, and then Sekiro comes out the 22nd. Is that what you were saying over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, March 22nd. Yeah, they also dropped some a lot of gameplay, and some websites had some, like, basically went and saw a pretty extended preview of it. And what I've heard so far sounds pretty darn good. Definitely mixing it up a little bit from what From Software's been known for, but also not completely completely distancing themselves from the Bloodborne Souls setup. Looks like the combat's a lot faster and a little bit different, but also looks, you know, like brutally hard and a little mysterious with its lore and the way it sets up its story and stuff like that. So,
It looks like it takes more from earlier From Software, like Tenchu.
Yeah.
Which is more of an interesting thing, which is kind of not so brutally kind of beat you down with the kind of the combat type thing. Seems like stealth is a more viable option than maybe a Souls. Stealth is very much kind of keep your fingers crossed in a soul pool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of times maybe you can sneak up behind an enemy and get a backstab. But
yeah,
stealth in general in the Souls games are not not what you're going for. No, you're going in with your...
That verticality they have with the grapple system seems to open it up a lot as well, which you don't get in kind of a more grounded soul.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying with it. Looking a little bit faster, a little bit more, nimble, as it were. Because a lot of times in Dark Souls, you just end up with gigantic armor on, fat rolling everywhere, and just trying not to take a direct hit. But I've seen, it looks pretty good. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Absolutely,
Yeah, all right. Well, does anybody else have anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I think that's about it.
Oh, that's it? All right.
Yeah, can't think of anything.
All right. Yep, this was the On Our Bullshit cast. Next week, we're probably going to dive into The Division 2. at least. And I know I said I was going to talk about Astroneer, but I wanted to hold off on it to not double down on that kind of game. I wanted to talk about Satisfactory first. So next week I'll probably dive into Astroneer a little bit more because I found some really cool stuff in that game. I kind of want to, before I really talk about it, I want to get to another planet. And I'm probably a little ways away from that. So we'll see how much progress they make. Otherwise, I guess you'll see probably me and Derek on tomorrow night playing some Division. And at some point, we're all going to be on Division. And maybe we'll get a stream together for that as well.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks for hanging out, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys.
And we'll see you next time.